Complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, whether we speak or whether we hear. How we need the Lord to open up and apply his gracious holy word to us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the prophecy of Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 7. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah was a prophet of Almighty God. He's testified as being the servant of God. He lived in Israel. And you children may well know that Israel was separate to Judah in the days when Jonah lived. There were two kings. There was a king of Judah and there was a king of Israel. The first king of Israel, of the divided kingdom, was Jeroboam. And he was not a good king. He made Israel to sin. He forbade the people of Israel, said they were not to go up to Jerusalem to worship in accordance with the law of God. He made two golden calves, images, which he set up, one in Bethel, to the southern part of Israel, and one in Dan, in the northern part of Israel. He said it was too far for them to go to Jerusalem. But the worst thing was, he says, these be thy gods, Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What a terrible blasphemy that was. And we don't read of any good king of Israel. Now the king of Israel, when Jonah lived, there was another king, Jeroboam. Jeroboam the second, as we might call him. And Israel was in a very, very sad state. And God had mercy upon Israel in spite of their sin. During the reign of Jeroboam the second, he prophesied, well, through Jonah, he raised up Jonah. And Jonah prophesied that much of the land which Israel had lost would be restored to them. Right from Hamath, the very northern part of Israel, right down to the southern part of Israel. There was a restoring of the land because God had pity upon Israel. He said he wouldn't destroy them at that time. And Jonah prophesied that they would regain the land, and it came to pass as Jonah had prophesied. So Jonah prophesied good for Israel, and it came to pass. Now that must have pleased Jonah very well. For if anyone speaks in the name of God, and good comes from it, then it pleases the one, doesn't it, who has spoken. If ministers today speaking in the name of Jesus, and it brings forth through the power of God good in the hearts and souls of those that hear. Oh, how those ministers are pleased that the word has not returned to the Lord void, but there's been confirming of it with signs following. So there were these signs following the preaching of Jonah in the days of Jeroboam. But that didn't turn Israel. It didn't turn Israel to believe in God as they should. Jonah lived in the days of Hosea and Amos, and they prophesied against Israel because of their continued sins, that the day would come when they would be destroyed. And that would be by the nation of Assyria, whose great city capital was Nineveh. And we've read here this morning that God spoke to Jonah again. He says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Or as Jonah had prophesied before concerning Israel, and it had come to pass, he was now to go to Nineveh. He's going to go to a heathen nation, Assyria, and he did not want to go. He was determined that he would not go. This was not his will. Jonah was a man of a strong self-will, even though he was the servant of God. You know, that searches us out, doesn't it? When we read these characters in the Bible, oh, we see ourselves so much in them. Yes, where the Lord's will is an agreement with our will, oh, we're so happy to do it. But where the Lord's will is not in accordance with our own will, then we will rebel against it, just as Jonah did. And this is not pleasing to God, is it? But look at Jonah's great sin. Not only did he rebel and say no, he would not do the will of God. He sought to go away from the presence of God. Oh, how could he believe that he could, when he knew God had created the heavens and the earth, and therefore he would be everywhere? Yet he seemed to consider that God only resided in influence and power in the promised land of Israel and Judah. So he sought to go from Israel. He would go to Tarshish. And Tarshish, we understand, is the land and the islands of the Mediterranean Sea, where there were many boats went to do their business. And so Jonah went down to Joppa on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And there he found a boat going to Tarshish. He had money to pay the fare. So he went into the boat and went down into the sides of it, believing that all was well. And all seemed to be well. Yes, he was escaping from the command of God. He would not do the command of God. Oh, dear friends, have we ever been like that ourselves, and you children? We have the direction of what we should do in the Word of God, the revealed will of God, don't we? You know, often we say, oh, but that's not my will. I want to do something different. I want to satisfy mine own self. That's just what Jonah did. Sought to do. We think of David, don't we? Jonah wasn't alone like this. David, he was a wonderful man of God. But he suffered, didn't he, when Saul sought to kill him. And God said to Saul that remain free from Saul, David was to stay in the wilderness of Judea. But after several times Saul came to kill David, he didn't succeed. David said, I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul. And that was disagreement with the word of God, the promise of God, which had said he would one day be the king of Israel. Oh, things weren't going as David would wish in his own self. He wanted to be more at peace, more safety, and he considered it was with the Philistines. And the Philistines gave him the city of Ziklag. And David, everything went well to start with, didn't it? He was very content. But it only was for a time, until David lost all his loved ones and his possessions and the men with him when Ziklag was burned with fire by the Amalekites. Oh, God's hand does come to pass that his will shall be done. And it's not just in judgment and in chastening. Yes, it is, and it's very solemn. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God, because he will not let his people go their own way. Oh, it's vital to be one of the Lord's people, one of God's children, because the end of our earthly lives is then heaven above. But if we rebel against the word of God, if we go our own way, then we can expect. We can expect the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the chastening of God to be upon us, but not to destroy us, but to bring us back to where we depend upon him again. A judgment and a chastening in love and mercy for the eternal life of our souls. We find this in these accounts, even in the account of Jonah, don't we? Oh, how solemn was the judgment of God upon Jonah for trying to go his own way, believing he could escape and deny the will of God. They hadn't gone too far, had they, on the sea when this great storm arose. And the shipmen, oh, they hadn't had a storm like this before by the looks of it, because they greatly feared. The ship was going to be broken, they feared. So they threw lots of the goods that they were carrying into the sea to make it more easily to be tossed about without breaking. And they called upon the names of their own gods, whoever they were. And the shipman, the one who was in charge of the ship, found Jonah asleep. Oh, in the midst of this storm, Jonah was content to sleep. Oh, how solemn is the fact that even in the time of danger, going his own way, he was ignorant of it. He was awoken and sold him to call upon his God. Whether Jonah did at that time or not, we do not know. But they cast lots, which was the type of finding a reason why something came to pass, or to make a choice, something to be known. But that didn't happen by chance, did it? God's hand was in all this. God's hand was upon them to cast lots. And the lot, in accordance with the God's will, came out that Jonah was the cause, was the why this great storm was upon the sea and threatening the death of all these people. And so they took hold of him. Why this? What are you doing? Why are you fleeing from your God, who is your God? And Jonah told them that his God was the God of who made the heavens and the earth and the land, and he was escaping from his God because he did not want to do what his God wanted him to do. And they feared. What shall we do then? Now this brought Jonah to his senses, didn't it? Jonah now realized through this judgment, this chastening, this terrible storm, that he could not escape from the hand of God, from the presence of God. And he knew the storm was there because of his rebellion. And he knew the scriptures. He knew the soul that sins, it shall die. And he was worthy to die because of his sin. Oh, that's a very solemn place to come, isn't it? Knowing that you're worthy to die at the hand of God because of your sin. It's good to be taught our sins. Yes, but it's a very, very solemn low place to come in our spirit, in our minds. It brings us greatly into the fear of God. The fear that he will do exactly what we deserve, that is to die. And Jonah, we could say very bravely, quite rightly, said, well, throw me into the sea. Throw me out of this boat which is being threatened by the storm. Throw me into the sea, then I shall be not going in accordance with my will. Throw me into the sea and the sea will be calm to you. And they tried to row back to land. They didn't want to throw him into the sea. They didn't want to bring him to sure and certain death. They tried to return to the land, but they couldn't because the wind was so boisterous. It got greater and greater that in the end they had to throw Jonah into the sea. And immediately there was a calm. And they feared God. Oh, you know, it's a solemn thing here, isn't there? It's almost like a blessed thing. This experience of these seamen, it was sanctified to the blessing of their souls. Why, they came to fear God themselves. They feared God exceedingly, offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. They knew now that he was God. But poor Jonah, he was suffering the consequence of his sins, which was, in essence, surely, as it seemed to be, certain death, thrown into that great sea and the terrible waves of it. But God had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Oh, you know the Lord's mercies. They never leave those that are his children. Even though they deserve the fullness of his wrath. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But those hands are full of mercy. It was like David again, wasn't it? When he sinned in numbering the people. And he was offered three aspects of the wrath of God upon him. From his enemies, from a famine, or from the hand of God itself. And David said, let me fall into the hand of God, for there is mercy. In spite of what he deserved. Oh, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. What sweet, comforting things we find here, don't we, in the scriptures. For this God is our God. Jonah's God is our God. David's God is our God. And although it seems sure and certain death for Jonah, he came into the belly of this great fish that swallowed him up. I don't know if there's ever been a fish before or a fish since, like this, which swallowed up Jonah. And he was able to survive in the belly, in the bowels of this fish. It must have been a dreadful place. Jonah called it the grave. He called it the belly of hell. But there, he prayed. What else could he do? It seemed sure and certain death as the weeds wrapped about his head. He went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He was surely going to drown. But in the belly of this fish there was air. Even though he was in the depths of the sea, you might say, inside the fish, he was preserved from drowning. Oh, what mercy, what miracles the Lord can bring to pass to save his people from their just desert with his death. And there, in the belly of the fish, the testimony of Jonah is this: when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When my soul fainted within me. When we faint, we've got no strength at all, have we? We just fall over. We're completely weak. Jonah was completely weak in his spirit. Oh, he'd sinned. He got no goodness of himself. Oh, perhaps when all his prophecy before in the time of Jeroboam, to Jeroboam, and Jeroboam had conquered to save Israel and restored the land. Perhaps there was a measure of pride within Jonah in his pleasure that the Lord had used him for such a work as that. But now there was no pride left in him now, was there? No, he was a sinner and he deserved to die. But out of those depths, yes, the physical depths as well as the spiritual depths, out of the depths he cried unto the Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. What did he remember? How did he remember the Lord? I'm sure he remembered the name of the Lord. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering. Abundant in goodness and truth. Well, that was the name the Lord declared unto Moses when he passed by. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering. Oh, how the Lord is long-suffering over sins of his people, isn't he? He doesn't deal with them immediately as they deserve. He doesn't deal with them at all as they deserve. Nor does he reward them according to them. No, God has sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for his people's sins. And that included Jonah. Although Jesus had not been born upon this earth at this time, the promise of his coming was there. And when John, the apostle, saw the vision in heaven of the Lamb, it was the Lamb that had been slain, Jesus, from the foundation of the world. When God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, all God's people, from that time, the beginning of creation, were saved through Jesus dying in their room, place, and stead on Calvary's cross. And we come, the Lord will bring us at some point in our lives, oh, to look unto Jesus, to plead for the forgiveness of our sins. And again we may well in our lives sin and fall in times of temptation. And we have to come again when we are cast down because of our sinfulness. We realize we are sinners continually. And sometimes when we sin greatly like David did, well, our soul can faint within us. We lose, as it were, our hope, our expectation of heaven above. We are such great sinners. We cannot expect the Lord to save us. So what did Jonah do? He prayed. He prayed in the name of God, merciful and gracious. That mercy and grace that came through Jesus and his shed blood. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. I remembered the Lord. Yes, he remembered his name. And Jonah remembered when the temple was built in the prayer of Solomon. When Solomon prayed unto God and said, when others pray toward this place, or in this place either, when they are far away, and they repent of their sins, if they look and pray towards this temple, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, do forgive. Do forgive. Now God heard the prayer of Solomon. He blessed that place, the temple. Oh, that was the place, wasn't it, where Jesus was to come to. He would come to that place. But not the physical temple in the end would be the saving of his people. But Jesus himself, who said his body was the temple. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again, showing his death and his resurrection to put away sin. When I remembered the Lord, my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Well, he didn't know which way the temple was, poor Jonah, did he, in the belly of that whale? But dear friends, his prayer was from his heart towards Almighty God. His prayer by faith was in and through Christ Jesus. Oh, the temple that was destroyed on Calvary's cross, but raised again 3 days to put away sin. Oh, we do see here in all the various scriptures, don't we? The mercy and the grace, the power of God through the gift of his Son to cleanse from all sin. Even from the lowest depths of the exercise of our sins. What did the psalmist say? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with thee. Jonah here certainly now feared God in the right way. He didn't fear God to flee from him as he did because he did not want to do the will of God. He feared God lest God would do to him exactly what he deserved, bring him down to die. Jonah did not know how long he was going to be in this belly of the whale. He called it the belly of hell, like in the grave, the belly of the grave. But by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, he cried and he heard me. The Lord heard that cry. Oh, the Lord hears the cries of his people out of their depths when they come in sorrow and distress because their disobedience and the determination to sin. My mind goes to that lovely part of Psalm 102 where the Lord looks down from heaven. That's where Jonah's prayer reached, wasn't it? It reached up into heaven. It wasn't just going to the temple in Jerusalem. It was reaching up into heaven. And there, God has promised to look down from heaven, to hear the groaning of the prisoners. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Now, when the Lord beholds the earth, as we've noticed before in another psalm, he sees all the sins and iniquities of his people. Yes, he saw the iniquity of Jonah, and he brought this judgment and chastening upon him very solemnly. But his people groaning, praying to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. The Lord looked down from the height of his sanctuary to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Now, he's a prayer-hearing and answering God. And when we're in our troubles, in our difficulties, in our sorrows, in great temptations, perhaps under the great burden of sin, the Lord hears those cries, those heartfelt cries. No one else can help us, only God. Well, these are solemn times, aren't they, when we come into such difficulties. No help in self we find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of our hearts is sin and death and hell, and vain is the help of others. Jonah couldn't look to anybody else to help him, could he? He couldn't speak to the fish and tell the fish what to do. Of course he couldn't. His dependence was alone upon God through prayer. You know, it's a wonderful mercy if the Lord brings us at times to realize that our help alone is with God. We are sinners, unworthy of the least of his mercies. But in answer to our prayers, he will answer them in his mercy. You know, Jonah had faith still, didn't he? Jonah was a servant of God, even though he'd sinned so greatly. But his faith given of God was still there. Because it was through faith he cried unto the Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Merciful and gracious. Yet he was a great sinner. He had faith in the mercy of God. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities are those ways which are not of the truth, those which we think is right unto ourselves, but contrary to the ways and the will of God. Those are lying vanities. When we think we can go our own way, do our own things, they'll never do us any good. If we determine to go that way, we forsake our own mercy. We don't find the mercy of God. But when we submit before God as guilty sinners, yes, then the Lord is merciful to us. And that's sanctifying. Oh, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. There's the restoring of the soul. That's what we need so often, isn't it? The restoring of our soul, to praise God for his great goodness and mercy toward us, not having dealt with us after our sins, but restored us and to lead us in the ways of his righteousness. Oh, what a mercy that is, his righteousness. Where Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Jonah had believing views again of God. Himself now nothing. Oh, he'd lost his determination to do his own will. All he needed was the mercy of God that endureth forever, which is the will of God toward his people. And the Lord heard and answered his prayer. And this was the testimony of Jonah. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. It's like that word, isn't it, of the Lord through David. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Oh, what a trouble it was for Jonah. It was his own making, wasn't it? Call upon me in the day of trouble, whether it's your own making or some trouble which has come upon you through others. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. No one else can. But to deliver you in such a way that you will glorify God. Not to glorify the help of others. Not glorify your own wisdom in decisions you may take. No. You remember God. You call upon him in that day of trouble. He has mercy upon you. He shows you the way to go. He shows you what you shall do. He heals your soul in the forgiveness of your sins. He bestows his great blessing. And you glorify him. Oh, dear friends, that's what Jonah came to do, wasn't it? I will sacrifice unto thee with a joyce, with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. What had Jonah vowed? To do the will of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Dear friends, the Lord saved him. Only he could save him. And dear friends, only the Lord can save you and me from the consequence of our sins. Yes, his judgment and his chastening may well come upon us. But don't forget it's in love. It's in love. To keep us from continuing to go further and further away from the ways of truth, which end in death. Oh, you know, I've told you, haven't I, before the time when I had those pains in my chest. When I'd run up that hill and I said to my wife, oh, there's not many my age could do that, is there? And a few days later, all these pains came. The hospital said, you're having a heart attack, Mr. Hadley. And they went to put a stent in my heart. They found nothing wrong with my heart at all. The conclusion was, I was a mystery to them. But as I stayed in the hospital that night, I opened the scriptures. Thou hast chastened me sore, but not given thee over unto death. Oh, dear friends, we learn these truths the hard way, don't we? The Lord knows what we have need of, to keep us dependent upon him. The Lord knew what Jonah had need of, to restore him to obedience to his will. And dear friends, whether this is applicable to any of you this morning, I do not know. But is the Lord's hand against you? Are you under some particular heavy cloud and dispensation and trouble? Oh, you fear the worst. And it's to make you obedient unto his will, the way you should go, in whatever way of providence or direction that is, but for the good and the blessing of your soul. And dear friends, may we learn from these scriptures. Salvation is of the Lord. He saves us by his grace through that mercy which endures forever, restores our soul, brings our wandering spirit back when we forsake his way. The Lord spake unto the fish, he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Oh, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And the Lord spake unto the fish. He vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah was saved from the deserved wrath of God for his sin, to continue to serve him as he was called. Well, dear friends, may these things find an abiding place in our hearts. Help us to look. Oh, unto the Lord through Christ, who gave himself for us. He said, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Then may we serve him in obedience to his word, his ways and his will. And then our ends to be everlasting peace. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Oh, you children, when you read, and on the very accounts of books are written, aren't they, on this account of Jonah, they're made quite light and excitable. But oh, do remember, it was to save Jonah from his sins. Amen.